I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans.
We're going
to
win by being the people that other people want to be around. Society wants guys who have an answer, guys who are committed, men who have a plan to make things better and go out and do it.
You are listening to Night Vision.
Hello and welcome to Night Vision, a multi-platform audio magazine presented by the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, designed to enrich, enlighten, educate, and entertain. This month's show is all about keeping the faith as we go from revealing the path to discerning the path and finally walking the path, in this case, to sainthood. First, Scott Schutte continues his sit-down with the Associate Chaplain for the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, Father Chris Shockley. The topic? Evangelization. Then, a new knight shares his tale and his journey to knighthood. And finally, the founder of our order navigates his path to sainthood. So pull up some camel hair, grab a bowl of locusts and honey, and keep the faith as we kick off this edition of Night Vision. We're all called to evangelize, so pass the word. See what I did there? Scott Schutte is joined once again by Father Chris Shockley.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Scott Schutte, State Treasurer. I'm joined today on Zoom with Father Chris Shockley, the new Central Deanery Director. Today, we're going to be speaking about evangelization and the role of the Knights in doing that. Father Chris, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
My joy to be with you. I'm doing well. And just to get the title down, it's Dean of the Central Deanery.
Dean of the Central Deanery.
It doesn't come straight off your tongue too easily.
That's okay. I'll get it. Take me a little while, but I'll get it. So, evangelization. It's kind of a big topic.
Something kind of a big word. Even just getting the word out, sometimes people struggle with.
Oh, yeah. It's an interesting word, but you know, it's kind of weird. You know, people get this idea when they hear the word evangelization of people going around door to door, kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses or some of the folks with the Mormon Church going around saying, hey, have you been found by Jesus? Or
have you found Jesus?
Wording they use nowadays.
Have you found Jesus? I didn't know he was missing.
Yes, exactly. I've heard the Pope mention it several times that we as Catholics ought to be more involved in evangelizing. And I know I would like to hear what you think we ought to be doing and what that means.
Well, why don't we dive into what the word evangelization is? Because, again, people hear the word, and honestly, I think the word scares people. Just hearing the word evangelization, they're like, that's a big, long word. I haven't gotten a degree in this type of thing. I don't have a theology degree. That's something for people who have the theology degrees. Mm-hmm. Evangelization is using, I'll get academic for a second and then I'll come back down to earth. But it comes from the Greek word euangelos, which basically means good message, spreading the good message, the good news. And so evangelization is about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And, okay, people, those words are a little bit more comfortable to people. They sound a little bit more normal. But still, it's like, okay, what exactly is the good news? And how do I spread it? End up being those big questions. And am I the person to spread it? A lot of times people feel like, again, evangelization, spreading the good news, that's for the experts. That's got to be something that the nuns, the brothers and the priests, or the parish staff, if it's not the nuns, the brothers and the priests, it's got to be the parish staff that do these things. That's not true. Spreading the good news is for every single one of us. And a lot of it is our common everyday conversations with people. And again, I'm going to come back to how we spread it, but I'm going to talk about what's the good news for a second. What is the good news? The good news is this, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. Another way of putting it, the good news is that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins that we may enter into heaven. another piece of the good, another way of saying the good news is that by the gift of God's grace through baptism, we can be forgiven of our sins and enter into heaven. You know, there's a lot of different ways of saying the good news, and there's lots of pieces of the puzzle that different people need to hear. One of my favorite expressions of the good news is this: God's love for you is greater than all your sins. And through the church, he is inviting you to receive the forgiveness of your sins and enter into eternal life with him. Now, all these summaries are leaving something off. It's not expressing everything, but these are short summaries of what the good news is. God's love is greater than all of our sins. And to say it to someone specifically, God's love is greater than the worst thing you've ever done. Think of the worst thing you've ever done. We can all think of something fairly quickly. God's love for you is greater than that thing. That's powerful good news. To spread the good news, we first have to receive it. One of my favorite Latin phrases is, nemo dat quod non habet. No one gives that which he doesn't have. We first have to receive that good news. Yes, we've received the grace of baptism. Yes, we've been renewed in that grace through reconciliation. We've been opened wider to that grace by confirmation. We've received the fullness of God's grace through the Eucharist, receiving Jesus Christ himself. But have we taken time to reflect on what it is to receive the good news of Jesus Christ? That his love, why is he giving me all this grace? To communicate to me in various ways, his love is greater than my sin. And he's inviting me to eternal life. This is the good news. How do we share that? How do we spread the good news? Well, it depends on who you are. I mean, everybody's going to do it differently. Some people are great speakers. We'll just acknowledge this. Some priests are great homilists. Some priests give great homilies. And I say this with due respect to my brother priests, but some don't. Some don't. Yes, they give a homily. And they fulfill some people's needs through their homily. And even a bad homily sometimes hits one person the right way. But other priests, they're better at spreading the good news by sitting down with somebody grieving over the loss of a parent as they prepare for a funeral. Other priests are great at spreading the good news, anointing somebody who's sick. Other priests spread the good news in various different ways. I know one priest who's fairly popular, Leo Padalinghug. He was one of the instructors in my seminary. He spreads the good news by going to people's houses and cooking with them. Yes, he still preaches Mass. He celebrates Mass. He preaches the homily. But one of his major ways of spreading the good news is just having a meal with people and talking about life. And one of the things that is a great example from that is this is the kind of thing that knights can do. Have a meal. Have a meal with somebody and talk to them about how their life is going and share with them how your life is going. And a lot of people go, but how is that evangelization? Well, it could not be evangelization if you never speak the name of Jesus Christ. But if you just subtly work in somewhere in your conversation that part of the reason you can handle a dark day, a bad situation is because you take it to prayer, because you go to the Eucharist at Sunday Mass, that you go to confession regularly, and it helps keep you in the context of what life is all about, those small comments over a dinner table is some of the best evangelization, where it's not, I'm going to convert this person. That's usually bad evangelization, where you go out saying, I'm going to convert this person. Because you know what? I have never converted anyone, but the Holy Spirit has converted people through me. And that is the aim, is that if any conversion happened, it happens because the Holy Spirit does it. I, Father Shockley, try to be an instrument for the Holy Spirit, and that's it. If somebody tells me a compliment on my homily, I always give them the same answer. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's me. I just try to get out of the way. But evangelization for the average knight should look like invite somebody to your dinner table, find out more about their life, and share about your life, and share about how your faith is an important part of your life.
Nice, nice. I know from my aspect, I looked at, I think it was a story I heard about St. Francis where they would walk through town praying, and one of the priests would ask him, you know, aren't you going to do something? And he's like, I just did. You know, they saw me doing the thing, praying to God, making sure that God was in my life. And you know, when I'm out doing, I don't know, stuff for Special Olympics or helping out with the NCYC, I'm there in a prayerful means, you know, and I'm letting, to me, making sure that people know, hey, I'm with the Knights, and the Knights are all about Christ and the church and things like that. I'm kind of hearing what you're saying as some of that, but maybe being a little bit more vocal about, hey, you know, I'm doing this in Jesus' name because these are the things that he wanted me to do.
I think that intentionality is a huge part of it. Like, you being out there as a Knight doing something good is a good service work, but it doesn't become evangelization by itself. If you went out and you're wearing your Knights of Columbus shirt, you've taken a step closer to being an evangelizer. Because just wearing your shirt, it says, if you've got a group of guys wearing that Knight's shirt together, it says to people, there's a group that does this kind of thing. Who are you? Oh, we're the Knights of Columbus. Why do you do this? Why are you leading in the Special Olympics and helping out in this way as a group? Well, Christ died for my sins, and this is my way of showing him I'm thankful for all he's done for me. Like, being able to speak the name of Jesus Christ as part of that is where it changes from just being a good works group to being evangelizers. And it's not about shoving it down people's throats, but just being authentic. That honestly, I think most of the Knights, if you ask them, is this one of the ways that you express your thanks to God for all he's done for you? I would hope every Knight would say yes. But when they're asked, why do you do this? Many times they just stop at the phrase, because we're the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so the Knights of Columbus are a group of people that do good things. Yes, that's true. But they're a group of people who do good things because they realize how much God has done for them. And taking that extra step of saying, because of what all that God has done for me, opens a conversation. Somebody might say to you, what has God done in your life? Somebody might say to you, you know, I've really had a hard time in life. I've had a rough life, and I really just don't see what God has ever done for me. And you have that opportunity to say, well, I can't speak about your life, but I know that God was there for me in this situation, this situation, this situation. Or when I was really down and out and I thought I had nothing, God still gave me all that I needed. It wasn't all I wanted, but it was all that I needed. And it might help that other person reflect on, you know, I've been down and out, but I'm still here today because God gave me all I needed. Not necessarily all I wanted, but he gave me all I need. Like, those are opportunities to begin the conversation. But if all we ever say is, why are we doing the good works? Because we're Knights of Columbus, we're missing a step in evangelizing. Taking that extra step, we're Knights of Columbus, and we realize that God has done so much for us, and we want to give back to him by serving our fellow man. It really, that is evangelization. People invite other people over to their house all the time for dinner, but many times we stay at the surface, how are you doing this week conversation. We never get into the deep conversation. We almost try to, society, we've tried to avoid the deep conversations. They teach you two things you're not allowed to talk about, politics and religion. Well, if you never talk about religion, you're never share, and your faith is important to you, you're never sharing an important part of your life with that person. You're never inviting them deeper into your life. We should have deep conversations with our friends. We should invite coworkers to deeper conversations. maybe it's not appropriate at work, but you know, you could say, hey, after work, let's go catch a beer. And over a beer, talk about how do you handle when it gets stressful at work? Oh, you handle it by exercising. I handle it by praying. Oh yeah, I exercise too. But prayer and exercise together do so much more for me than just exercise. Those simple conversations are how evangelization should look.
That's some real thought-provoking comments there. Well, I'm hoping that the Knights that are listening take that to heart, because I think those are very valid points. I think it is important that we take it beyond just that surface. I'm with you. Too often it's just, hey, how's your day? And it never gets beyond that. You know, it's almost like when people walk by and say, how you doing? And just keep on walking, you know? Are they just saying it because it's a social norm? Or do they really care about whether you had a good day or not? Discussion. And you know, what you're saying about saying, hey, you know, get more into the meat of it and talk about why it's a good day, that makes a lot of good sense to me. So what else do you want to share with us about this? I mean, is there any other?
Well, one of the things that I know a lot of Knights councils are struggling with is numbers. Like, how do we get our numbers up? The same applies just as well in that context of how do we evangelize and how do we grow our Knights Council? Many times it's not about trying to go out and get more knights, but letting more people know who you are as a knight. I've encouraged this, and I've seen at least some positive response in the council here in Crawfordsville of do a men's night for the men of your parish. And don't have it on the parish property. Go have it at the bowling alley and invite all the men of the parish to come out and get to know each other better. And when they get to know you as knights, you can say to them, this is what we do as knights. This is who we are. And that attracts people to be part of the knights. Same as evangelization, inviting somebody to something casual like a dinner, bowling, to have a beer after work. These are the things that are opportunities to draw people into the church. The same applies for how do you get somebody to be a knight? Get to know them. Friendship, and not friendship for the sake of getting the knights, but friendship of just, I want to share my life and the knights are important to me. I want you to be a part of that. That should be the same way you evangelize. My faith is important to you, to me. So I want you to be a part of this faith because I think it will help you the way it's helped me. I want you to be a part of the Knights because the Knights have helped me be a better man, be a better husband. But having that casual conversation, if you have a recruiting event, many times it's not much fun. It's kind of like, oh, this is what the Knights are about. It's usually not. The Knights tend to be about service. And one of the great services they can do is gather the men of the parish together to just have time as men and them seeing something that they've already benefited from. A bonfire. Have a bonfire for the men of your parish to get together and just be men talking about what's going on in their lives and the struggle of being men, Catholic men in this world, whether they're knights or not. You've already served them directly. They can say, why would I want to be a knight? Because the knights helped me get to know the other men of my parish. Even before I was a knight, they helped me have that connection. Have a boating night. Like if you've got somebody who's got a boat nearby that you guys can take a couple pontoon boats on the lake, have simple social outings for the men of the parish to have time to talk about how difficult it is to be a good man, a good husband, a good father in today's world. And then somebody wants to become a knight, not because somebody keeps putting a Form 100 in front of them, but because they can actually say, the Knights have already done something for me, and I want to give back, which echoes the reality of, why do I want to be Catholic? Because God has already done something for me, and I want to give back. These two things go hand in hand.
Wonderful. Well, I wish we had more time to go into this, because this is a truly important topic. And you're doing a great job of explaining it, but we're kind of running low on time. So do you have any parting words before we wrap this up?
My parting words would be just that I am so thankful for all the Knights within our state, for all that they've been doing for our Catholic faith, for the men of our parishes, and I am just very thankful for the service that they provide and the witness that they provide, even when it is just standing out wearing a Knight shirt. So many times, the things that they do, their manner of being, their presence, sometimes wearing the Knight shirt speaks to the fact that they are there not just as an individual doing good, but connected to the Knights of Columbus and connected to our Catholic faith that tells other people that as Catholics, as Knights, we do these things. And hopefully they can continue to share that the why of what we do is always what God has done for us. That it's not that we love God, but that God has loved us first.
In our last episode, Walt Peja sat down for a chat with a young lady named Shelby Edward. Now, he holds court with her husband and brother knight, Bobby Edward.
If you'd be kind enough, please introduce yourself.
My name is Bobby Edward, and I live in DeBary, Florida. I'm originally from India, Mumbai.
So my question to you is, why did you join the Knights?
Because my wife is all big about Knights, and she had a lot of friends who were Knights. And apparently after our marriage, she was like, would you like to be a Knight? And that concept was kind of new to me. And I was coming from a country, India, where you don't have an organization like a Knight of Columbus. So when I came to U.S., I was researching what Knights of Columbus is. I got some idea, but I was like, do I really want to join at this point, a juncture in my life, and I'm just starting off? The National Youth Conference was a set in stone for me, and I learned a lot of things there. And while I was just going and just browsing different things, that's when there was this booth about Knights of Columbus. And I said, well, let's go there and just get some information. I thought that was very engaging. Post I had a conversation with you, I had a whole bunch of, you know, brothers surrounding me, and they were all introducing themselves as Knights. I'm like, I am one of them. And that made the whole difference. If it was just me and you, I'm like, okay, this is just for me. But then when I was surrounded by friends, brothers, complete strangers who I've never met in my life, and there was one person from India too, and he happened to be a priest, and he introduced and said, I am a knight too. And I'm like, wow, I want to be a knight. And so that's how I began my journey to Knights of Columbus.
So if that resonates with anybody out there, somebody seeking, doing a little bit of research, and then having the opportunity to join the Knights of Columbus, you can do that by hitting your web browser and going to kofc.org/join us. Go ahead and fill out the information, and the membership director for your state will get in touch with you and get you to a council.
We're all called to be saints, and Father Michael J. McGivney is officially going to be beatified later this year. Father Mick caught up with Brian Caulfield as our founder navigates the path to sainthood.
On October 31st, 2020, a small parish priest will be the focal point for a service that marks a milestone for one of the faithful. Father Michael J. McGivney is to become beatified in Hartford, Connecticut. Viewed as a once-in-a-lifetime event for the members of the Knights of Columbus, the Indiana State Chaplain, Father Mick Koppel, sat down with Vice Postulant for the cause of Father McGivney's sainthood, Brian Caulfield. Here, they introduced the process of how to make a case for a saint.
So, Brian, I've looked up a lot of information about the process of beatification and canonization. I came across Gabriel O'Donnell's name. He was the postulator for Hartford, right?
Yes, he was the first postulator for Father McGivney's cause.
Okay. And then where did you come in the process?
Well, I'm what they call a vice postulator, which is sort of like the vice president, the guy who does a lot of the work, a lot of the groundwork. In 2011, after the first proposed miracle was turned down by the Vatican, the Supreme Knight asked me if I would serve as vice postulator. I was already working for the Knights of Columbus in the Supreme Knight's office. I had a degree in theology, a master's degree in theology. So he said, you know, you'd probably be good to do this. I was kind of surprised at the time. It was like, I didn't really know, you know, I knew what a postulator was, but I didn't know there was such a thing as a vice postulator.
Sure.
And so the first thing I did was kind of run back to my office and Google vice postulator and say, oh, okay. So I kind of assist the postulator. And, you know, basically what I do is, you know, I oversee the Father McGivney Guild, which started in 1997 when Father McGivney's cause was opened in the Archdiocese mm-hmm. of Hartford, Connecticut. When we get emails, when we get regular mail in, people reporting favors, you know, I read that carefully. And if I think something is of an extraordinary nature, some healing usually, you know, I'll make record of it and call the person who reported it, either the person who experienced the possible miracle or person who's reporting it on behalf of that other person, and try to get a little more information about, you know, the nature of the healing, was there medical intervention, how much medical intervention, and kind of make a transcript record of this. And if I still think it would meet the high standards of the Vatican, I would send that to the postulator in Rome. His name is Dr. Ambrosi. He's a canon lawyer and a civil lawyer in Rome. He's been doing this for, I think, 30 years, representing canonization causes like a lawyer before the Supreme Court. He's qualified to bring a case, you know, to the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. So I would send it to Dr. Ambrosi in Rome. He would look at it and he might consult, you know, a medical expert who's dealt a lot the Vatican and the standards that they have, and ask that medical expert. And if the answer comes back, yes, this looks promising, you know, let's pursue it. You know, I would kind of work to get all the medical records released. I would go to the person who was healed and, you know, kind of interview them personally. I would also get any witnesses, the doctors, of course, anyone else, especially, which is two things really that we need to show to the Vatican. One, you know, usually the highest hurdle is that this healing, this event was medically and scientifically inexplicable. You know, you don't have to use the word miracle because, you know, a lot of secular doctors would not agree to say that word, but we would be satisfied if they say there's no way that we could explain this in current medical or scientific terms. So that's the first hurdle. The second hurdle is, can we show that that Father McGivney was invoked pretty much exclusively, especially by the person involved and maybe his close family and people like that.
So that gives you a brief view of what it takes to make a case for a saint. Join us next month when we continue with the conversation between Father Koppel and Brian Caulfield. We'll look to see you in October.
Night Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Contributors for this episode include Scott Schutte, Walt Teja, David Negrette, and Bob Zielinski. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.